Welcome to the first episode of Out the Ether podcast. I'm your host, King Ether, and I'm joined by...
Hi, everyone. I'm Zay, and thanks for tuning in.
First, we should talk about shows that we have watched that are not related to this review that we're about to do.
Yes. So I've been watching Fate Zero for the past few days. Actually, I'm not done with it, but it's nice, actually. It's pretty historical.
What do you like about it?
I mostly like the characters and how everybody is approaching the Holy Grail Wars with a different flair, you know.
So
it's real interesting to see these historical figures all come to life in this anime. Like, I'm not into history, but like you're into mythology and everything, mm-hmm. So you have like this background knowledge. And watching it next to you is kind of like, it kind of fills it in for me.
What's your favorite character?
Oh, definitely Alexander the Great, Isandar. Mm-hmm. Or Iskander, excuse me. He is just like the jolliest. He's the jolliest. And he is really, he's that character who, you know, you're ready to underestimate him and think that he's dumb, but he's on his stuff, though. He's smart. Don't underestimate him.
Yeah. And I figured that you'd like him because he's, when I first met you, before we started watching a bunch of anime, you were very shonen.
Yeah.
And he's very shonen-like.
He's very
positivity shonen-like. And, like, all that stuff.
Yes.
I thoroughly, even though you hate Gilgamesh, I love Gilgamesh.
Oh,
I
think
he's absolutely fantastic. It's just...
he's the worst.
Something about him saying mongrel, you know, it really just gets me going.
Entirely too much.
Okay. You have another show you're watching?
Yeah, and finally get into Naruto. Like, I should have been gotten into, but, and you're looking at me.
No, I had to force you again.
You did not have to force me. I was going to watch it eventually because, you know, one of the greats, but I'm doing it now. I'm finally doing it. And now that I'm past the tuning exams, like, it's gotten real interesting.
Right. Okay.
Since my Jiraiya popped up on the scene.
Okay. What do you like about Jiraiya?
What do you mean, what do I like about Jiraiya? I love characters who just have, like, who's not defined by their talent, you know?
Mm.
Like, these characters that are just living their normal life, but if you cross them wrong or something, then all of a sudden, see, right. Now I gotta stop being chill and doing what I want to do, right. To come
pull
and show you.
Smoke. I got
and pull
you.
Yeah, and pull it with smoke.
Right.
Like, I love characters like that, and that's Jiraiya, for sure.
Okay.
What have you been watching?
I have been watching, well, you got me, our trade-off was, you know, you watch Naruto and
that's
I watch
right.
Bleach, because I did
right.
not really watch much of it growing up. I dropped off, and I'm surprised. I actually enjoy it, but the thing I don't like about it is that 45% of the anime is filler. I cannot condone it. That's disgusting. You're not going to have 300 episodes to be like, damn, this is going to be a long, lengthy ride. And it's like, don't worry about it, bro. You can cut half that shit out. Like, that's kind of annoying. I don't like wasting my time, you know. But I do enjoy the fight scenes. It's a lot of fun. I like seeing the little power-ups. It's a lot better than I thought it was. And also, especially since watching Naruto, Naruto is like so dragged out. Obviously, and people who have watched Naruto know that once you get to Shippuden or Shippuden, however you prefer to say it, they fix a lot of those problems. It's not as drawn out. And also the fighting is a lot better. But yeah, I really enjoyed that. And then the other show I've watched was Angel's Egg, which is something that we watched this morning. And
that
I started that. Yeah, I started that like 1 o'clock at night, which was totally a mistake. I was like, oh, this cool movie I found on YouTube, you know, because you can't find it anywhere else. And that was a mistake because I woke up and it was just, it's deep. It's deep. Like,
it
got
deep.
So many layers to it. And I'm still lost. Like, it's something I have to go back. And I don't like rewatching things at all. Like, it's not really my style. But this is a show I already know, like, I have to rewatch, like, next week or something like that in order to get a deeper understanding. But I think it was an enjoyable watch. That's something that hits on tones of, like, innocence or religion or different realities, you know. So I thoroughly enjoyed how deep it was. An anime that's unique. You'll never find anything else like it, even though it came out in 1985. But it's super unique.
Definitely a hidden gem, for sure.
Definitely. I won't review it on this podcast or on the website, which is the website's outtheether.com. You know, I'll link it in the show notes. Definitely check it out. Those are non-spoiler reviews. While the podcast here will be spoiler review, which our first show that we're going to be talking about is Inuyashiki, which came out during the 2017 fall season, made by Studio MAPPA, which makes great things like Dororo, Dori Hidori, and other great shows. So it's a good studio, good hands. The genres are action, drama, psychological, sci-fi, sanin, and it was directed by Shuhi Yabuta. And the show, I'll just go ahead and explain, like, the show is about, it opens up with this old man who is just getting shit on by his family. They're like, because his thing is like, he looks like he's like 70 and like got a foot in the grave already, but he's like 58 or something like that, but you know, looks really aged up. And his whole family just didn't care. Like, his daughter was like, gave him no mind, son didn't care, wife, they slept in separate rooms, you know. So really his only friend was this dog that he found in the park, right? Yeah. So that was the only light of his life. He was just a sad old man who had also, that same day as the show opens up, he had cancer. I think he had lung cancer maybe, and like he was only had like 3 months to live. Wow. And so like he didn't even feel comfortable enough to tell his own family that he had cancer. He just couldn't get it out. So as he's taking a walk in the park, because he's like, damn, like I can't tell anyone, he is met with a young man, and then it seems like an alien spaceship like crashes into them and kills them both. And the aliens on the ship are like, oh shit, fucked up.
It sounds like anything that could have gone wrong in this man's life did go wrong.
Big facts, 100%. Like, he, at least the cancer didn't get him.
Right? But, it wasn't the cancer.
Right. And the aliens are like, oh shit, we killed these two humans. They're like, no, that's not really our problem here. Let's give them these military machines and like get the fuck off this dusty ass rock. And so they gave them two weaponized machines, and you know, they come back. At first they're like, well, that was weird. And then, you know, the main character
You mean turn them into weaponized machines?
Yeah, turn them into weaponized machines. Yes, sorry.
Because things started getting better. Ichiro.
Ichiro figured out his machine, and then that's where it kind of starts.
Ichiro Inuyashiki, which is the namesake of the show.
Right.
Because he becomes the last hero.
Yeah, yeah. And so the thing that I really enjoyed about the show was is the villain, actually.
Oh, you know,
I'll just
gosh.
Skip to that part. You know, I really loved Hiro. He was just a kid that was really, he's a nerd, so he's really into like Jump comics and you know, just seemed about into anime and video games and stuff like that. So he would do what I would do, Sarah,
shocking. That's kind of
no. All right. So first off, wait. It was
because it sounded bad. It sounded real bad.
It was. He figured out how his powers are. He was like, oh my gosh, these powers, I'm gonna test them to the full limit and figure out what I actually can do, which is what I thoroughly enjoyed about him, compared to Ichiro.
Oh my gosh, the dichotomy between these two. Right. Characters, honestly, they went in totally opposite directions.
Right.
They really did. So whereas what's his name, Hiro?
Yeah.
Hiro was that really super bad, evil, the most triggering of villains that you'll ever meet.
Misunderstood, but okay.
Okay. Then you have Ichiro, who is the exact opposite, and he probably feels so much. He was an extremely sensitive old guy, and you know what? His figuring out of the powers, I think it was more what is it, human. It was definitely more
I felt both characters did like human things,
not like Hiro wasn't human. Just saying that it was very, I enjoyed how realistic both of the characters were, honestly.
Right, because the first thing that Ichiro did, which was instead of figuring out the powers like Hiro, where Hiro tested it out before, you know, kind of going about in the world, but then Ichiro immediately went and started, he went to hospitals and started healing people's cancer and stuff like that, because they're basically gods, you know, they could fly, shoot laser beams and stuff like that. So he went to hospitals and started healing people of their cancer.
But before that, it just started with this alley fight, with him saving this one guy from these thugs, honestly. Remember? He was picking on the guy with the thugs.
Was it the Yakuza?
Yeah. Was it the Yakuza? No, it wasn't the Yakuza. It was like, it was literally like this man, he was just standing, he was just standing at a bus stop, I think, and then these thugs just come by, and they're like, hey man, you're coming with us.
Oh, and then they dragged him to the guy, right?
Yeah, and then they dragged him into the dark, and then turned around, and then they were about to fuck him up. But then, luckily, Ichiro, he pops up, and he's like, at this point, he hasn't figured out much of his powers, honestly.
Right.
He hasn't figured out nothing. All he knows is that, you know what, there's something going on with his back and his chest that lets to, you know, come apart. And then, you know, he even starts swinging at the dude. This dude, I thought it was very realistic how a hero doesn't just know how to fight just because he gets powers all of a sudden. You know what I mean? He still had to figure that out. So he was still, like, swinging, like, you know, he didn't have no martial arts training.
Every single time he connected. You're right. He was swinging wildly, but then every single time he connected, it looked like they just got knocked the fuck out.
It did, because he is still a weapon. A weapon.
Right.
He is still a weapon.
Yeah.
That's true. So he beat these guys up, and that was his first heroic act. And then from there, I think that set the tone for him, where he was like, that was exhilarating, and I like, you know, saving people. I like helping people. And he has, and he immediately found out that he had this super hearing ability, actually. You know, whereas it seemed like Hiro found out about the bang bang.
Let's talk about Ichiro first.
I know, I'm just saying, it's funny how, like, they discovered two different things. Like,
well, Hiro already knew about the hearing.
I think.
But Ichiro, like, I don't know, it seemed like, because they said they could pretty much hear anything, but Ichiro pretty much almost tuned it to, like, to just hear cries, you know, cries for help.
Exactly.
Which, you know, it is what it is.
It's like the powers that they decided to, you know, that they discovered and then decided to focus on. They were like, they tell you what that person's about.
Right.
You know, Ichiro with his superhero, he was like, look, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be a superhero and I'm going to look for people in distress. So he tuned that super hearing and that's what he uses. Like, that becomes his greatest, you know, the greatest feature that he finds before anything else.
Okay. So I guess for the rest of the story, I should say that, like, for Hiro, because he's their dichotomy, so there's complete opposite ends of the spectrum. So Ichiro was very emotional, as you said. Yeah. So he went, as I said, he went healing people first. And so the exact opposite, Hiro was a psychopath. He honestly was a psychopath. The one scene that stood out to me, and I reposted it on my Instagram. It was, he spun around in a circle and was like, this house. And he walks up in the house and the mom's like, oh, hi, honey. And she turns around, she's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, bang, and like holds a finger gun and shoots her.
It's not his mom.
No, it's just some random family. Yeah.
Just some random family. She goes like, hi, honey, thinking somebody, like, her own child's walking in the house. This man then walked into somebody else's house that he doesn't even know and just shot their mother.
Yep, bled out. And then walked into the bathroom and was like, the dad was like, oh, no, like, what's going on with the mom? He's like, yeah, she's dead. And he, like, shoots her and is like, what do you say? Say something to me? He's like, say something to me. And he was like, oh, don't hurt my child. He's like,
yeah, please spare my child.
This is life. And then just kills him. And then kills the dad. And then the child, he's hugging the child away from the, from Hiro.
That was so sick.
And because Japanese bats, you know, they kind of bathe together, right? It's like a common practice. So, like, the dad ended up drowning the son because he was too heavy for the son to get off. And then the mom comes home.
And watches.
And
Hiro just stands there and watches.
You gave him life. And then the daughter came home and she was like, oh my god, what'd you do to my family? And he was like, yeah, they're dead. And he was like, hey, what manga do you like to read? She's like, I like One Piece. He's like, oh, shit, where? You like One Piece?
Oh, my gosh, the way his eyes lit up.
He was happy. He was happy.
He was. You could tell, like, Shonen Jump is his...
That was his life.
That's his life. That's really what he was passionate about. He was like, hey, besides the bang bang, you know?
Yeah. Oh.
Because that became his life.
That became his life, yeah. And he was like, hey, what's your favorite character out of One Piece? She's like, oh, Zoro. He's like, yeah, I fuck with Zoro, too. And she's like, what happened to my... what happened to my family? He's like, man, what are you talking about your fucking family? Let's talk about One Piece right now. Fuck, I care about your family for. And terrible. That's when I was like, I fuck with this guy. You know?
He was popular.
Probably, but like, I don't know. I just like, I like that. Like, he's just, he's different of a villain. Like, he's really about that life. And that's when Ichiro actually came into contact because he heard the cries for help. You know, he heard the cries from the daughter and appeared, but it was too late.
Because Hiro had gone on his way.
Yeah, and then Hiro saw him, shot him, and then was like, you're still up. And then ran off, you know. For some reason, I don't know why he didn't continue the fight and just try to explore, which is a little weird to me, but he ran, flew off, because they can fly, you know. They can do whatever the fuck they want to do, honestly. And that just goes into a whole life of where Ichiro kind of, I feel like, doesn't use his powers as much because he was either trying to help people or... I don't know. I think because he had this feeling of his worthlessness, because though I think that was fed to him before he had the powers. Like, his family didn't care for him, and it seemed like he had a generally hard life. So I guess he just didn't really, I don't know, feel maybe worthy of his powers. I'm guessing. I don't know. But he didn't really use as much. While Hiro was all about the action, just murdering people left and fucking right. But he was. But he.
I feel like Ichiro had age on his side, and he didn't know what to, he didn't know what to expect, you know?
Yeah, it was outdated.
I feel like Hiro, he read enough Shonen Jump or something to figure out, like, hey, once you get powers, you know, there you gotta push the limits, and you just gotta see what else you can do.
Right.
You know, whereas Ichiro was like, I can super hear, like, you know, that's been working out.
Right.
And he just stumbled upon more of his powers.
Which really was just fighting, or, because for Ichiro, he had that scene where he fights the mafia guys and gets knocked out, right? That's where he gets knocked out.
That's
and
right.
Then it turns out the military, the militaristic suits have like this defense system where it's like an eye pops out in the back of their head and they shoot out laser beams or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he just killed this Yakuza, I said mafia, didn't I? But it's a Yakuza clan with it, but he kind of didn't know what he was doing, kind of just was punching people. That was his thing. He was like, I got an invulnerable body and I'm just gonna, I got hands. I'm ready to throw the good hands.
Protect him even when he's not conscious of it.
Yeah, so that was his thing. And then for what helped him speed up, which is what I really liked, was that most people, you know, don't condone Hiro's actions, like his best friend. Which is best friend? Nayuki?
Yeah, Nayuki.
Yeah, so he was very much against his friend killing, because Hiro was like, oh yeah, it doesn't fucking matter, like, bro, people are dying, like, it's all good though.
Oh my gosh, now he was like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, he was totally against it, right? So he ends up using his knowledge of what Hiro taught him, right? He was able to call Ichiro in.
That's
right.
And
then I got a conversation, and he was like, this is what you can do, you know, this is what Hiro taught me that you guys can do. Like, he was able to have a USB finger in his fingernail, a USB port in his fingernail to be able to have phone calls, which is really interesting. I thought that was, you know, aliens had a USB port.
You know, I know humans use these sometimes.
That really helped, like, speed up his curve, but by that point in the show, Hiro, had he been caught? I'm a little bit forgetting, but he hadn't been caught yet, right?
No.
I think it was... No, he had been caught, because what happened was Hiro only really loved two people, which was his mom. Well, I guess he loved three. His mom, his dad, and then he loved his... he loved his best friend.
Right? Yeah. He lost his best friend.
Right. And so he did lose his best friend, but he didn't know that at the time. I don't think, not yet. But he took care of his mom, though, because remember they had to... she had cancer, and he was like... And that's what I really enjoyed, because, like, you could see, like, he actually cared. Like, before, he didn't care about anything. Like, he had no... Again, his life For him, his existence, he felt, was exterminating life and gave him life.
That's true. But so, when it came to his mother,
he actually cared about her.
Like, you know what? I can actually heal.
Right. And so he healed her, and then he, you know, he was like, I got you, you know, because they have hacking powers. And so he just had money. Like, we get a new apartment. We don't have to sleep on the floor like this. We good.
He wanted to take care of his mama. Yep. Like, you don't got cancer no more. Like, you don't got to live like this no more, mama. I'm going to take you out of this place. For sure.
And I really enjoyed that. As a mama's boy, I was like, I really relate. You know, I just started getting closer to Hero. I was like, damn, I really feel this. And but then the police came and was like, you're the guy, which I didn't understand why Hero didn't cover up his tracks, as someone that seems to be very good at understanding how to be a bad guy, kind of. You know, he kind of understood, like, the idea of, like, committing murders and stuff like that.
I don't think he understood that he had a weakness. You know, he's on this high of, like, I'm invincible, you know? Like, nothing bad can happen to me. I do all the bad. You know what I mean? And then, like, I don't think he ever thought about his mom as being, like, you know, like, vulnerable because of this. Because he's not vulnerable.
Right.
From his mind. You know, from his point of view. But once something bad happened to his mom, then that's
when So, I was about to say it was the police come, but no, it was the police showed up. You know, they figured it out. And he kind of flew off to this girl that I hadn't mentioned, which was Shion, I believe her name is how you pronounce it. Which her introduction was very funny to the show, I felt, which was she was like, oh, he's so hot. Which is another thing, like, he, as being a psychopath, like, Hero was charming. People liked him. He was athletic, you know. And so she thought he was hot, and he was like, she was like, oh, I'm gonna confess to him today, and runs up to him.
He's cold kind of charming, though. He's like the ice prince or whatever, you know, like, how he is, the ice queens,
like something like king. What is it, fruit basket, the mouse character. So he had that, and what she came up was like, she's like, hey, Hero, and he was like, do I know your pube head? And I was like, wow, he's hella disrespectful.
That's nothing like Yuki. I'm telling you, he was an ice king.
Well, but he had a standoffish, seemed like, personality. And so he's like, oh, your pube head. And she was like, oh, I like you. And he was like, cool. And then just walked off.
He said, thank you.
Yep. He said, I appreciate that.
He said, thank you. And then walked off.
Yeah.
Like, well, I can't do nothing with that.
So, but she ended up playing a bigger role than I thought, at least.
Yeah, actually.
Right. Which was, she was...
No one thought that anybody could bring the big bad villain, you know, down.
Yeah, it was very interesting because he, like, ran into her in an accident. She was like, the news had got out, right? Because the police figured out who the guy was. And they're like, oh, it's this person. He's been killing, like, he killed, like, 15 people already. Like, get this high schooler. Like, he's dangerous. She was like, no, I believe, I have faith in you. Like, you're a good guy. Like, I hope they catch the real person.
Yeah, you can hide out at my place until they catch the real killer.
Right. You know? And then he laid low, didn't he? He laid low. And then he, what else? I think he revealed. I think it was like,
not immediately,
right?
No, he got closer to the family, you know.
Yeah, the grandma, because she was staying at her grandma's place.
Yes, she lived with her grandma.
Yeah, and so he got close, and he actually saw them as, like, family.
Yeah.
Especially because his mom died. His mom killed herself because she was very ashamed of what he did, you know, Japanese culture.
Yeah.
And so she was, I guess, probably killed herself to atone for his sins, I feel. And then probably bullying him, like, because everyone was like, he should die. And then what happened next? He confessed to her, was like, yeah, I'm the killer. And she was like, it's okay, I got you. And it felt very Betty Ross Hulk-like, which the Hulk is a huge raging monster, and then, you know, this woman comes and tames, you know, similar to King Kong or something like that. So she was like, no, you can do good. And so he became a good guy. It was actually kind of an interesting turn. Like, I didn't think that would happen. And he became a good guy for her because I think he was really fond of her. He was like, wow, she has worth in my life. And
he put up an internet post and said, hey, like, I'm a fixer, right?
A healer.
He's like, I'm a healer. Just, if you need healing, hit me up. Mm. And people actually responded, like, skeptical, of course. They're like, this man on the internet talk about I'm a healer.
Right.
But really desperate people, like, you know what? I need something. And they hit him up. And then he came and he was all like, they're like, I have this ailment. And he touched him. He's like, not anymore.
Real Jesus-like.
Very Jesus-like. Yeah. And didn't ask for nothing in return.
Just like, for them to spread the word. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
he's like, he just for them to spread the word.
Right.
He's like, very Jesus-like. This man turned from the worst villain you can meet to a saint. All because of this girl. She played a very good part.
Which I thought was really cool until, I guess, the short-sightedness of it was that he assumed that his good fortune would negate the negative things that he had done, which it didn't. And the police ended up showing up again, this time shooting up the place. Luckily, Hero was able to save the grandma and and which is when I feel the show really kicks off, once that thing happens. What are you going to say?
I was going to say, like, it really sucked for that to happen at that moment, because they were talking about, like, Shion and Hiro and the grandma, they were talking about, or Hiro and Shion were talking about how they wanted to go away together, you know? Right. Like, go live as a family somewhere and take a trip somewhere nice, right. You know? So he's, like, making plans with them,
right.
Like, long-term plans to be with them, and, it's like he had found his new family, you know? Because, of course, like, he lost his dad from the bad publicity as well.
Yeah.
So, it was just such horrible.
His dad was still alive. His dad was still alive.
Yeah, not lost as in died.
I don't know. I don't know who balls you came from, but not mine.
Bro, he showed up to dad's house. He's like, look, don't hurt your stepbrother and sister, bro. Don't do it. And he was like, meh.
Well, that happened after the police showed up, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that showed up. Because what happened was...
Oh, after he lost the grandma.
Right. The police showed up. He carried them off to safety, and then he pulled up outside the dad's house. That's when he showed us that he has the ability to go... What was it?
Berserk?
No, it was
and he machine gun,
right? And he had an assault rifle. Bang. And this is all it's so funny too, because it's all just like when you're kids and you pretend to hold the gun, like an imaginary gun.
Yeah.
He's just and he's lighting these reporters up.
Yeah.
And then he looked at his dad and was like, "Deuces." He's like, "I'm a monster." I don't know. I guess he was just burning that bridge for some reason. I don't really understand why he did that. Maybe if I went back and watched him, I'd have understanding, but. I guess it was,
I don't think he was as close with his dad as he was with his mom, honestly. Like, yeah. Once dads have a new family, then it just seems like mama always been here, though. You know?
Right, right.
But,
yeah, he was worried about his other family. And that's understandable.
He's like, his dad's gonna focus on his family.
Right.
And his mom's.
And that's when Hiro, which, for the weird thing is, Ichiro doesn't really... Like, he has stuff going on, because, you know, we set the mafia, and he did that to save a woman, but he didn't really do much during this scenes of Hiro doing these evil things again.
Yeah, he did. He was saving people in the hospital.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was tagging along.
At the same time. Him and Naoyuki, they were...
Getting closer?
Yeah.
Which is...
Definitely.
Yeah, and I felt like he definitely could have, like, stepped up more and tried to stop, because Hiro takes the... He realizes, at least in his head, he's like, all right, the police will never stop coming for me as long as I stay here. So, I'm going to take the fight to the police. And he just goes absolutely berserk and just starts murdering police officers. And a whole battle ensues, and he's just... They can't really do anything. You know, he kills them. And people are like, wow. Like, they actually idolized him, actually. Because he was just so attractive. They're like, oh, he's so hot.
And he's such a bad boy.
Yeah, they really were just on his Johnson, right? And I think before that, he took the war to the Reddit users, to the online users, right? That was before the police.
Yeah.
is that he...
They were trashing him online.
Yeah, and I think this is the first time that Hiro displayed that he could shoot his imaginary bullets through screens.
Oh, yeah.
So, as long as you were holding, like, a laptop or a cell phone, he could just hack it and then go bang. And then you're dead, you know. And he just started killing people because what happened was the police didn't do detective work to find him. It was like online users, similar to like that documentary you showed me, which was
Don't Fuck with Cats.
Yeah, Don't Fuck with Cats.
They'll find you.
Right, and that's what happened. So he was like, you know what? Fuck it. I wasn't ready. It was a 2chan, 2chan, which is the equivalent of 4chan, right? And he killed everyone that blew his cover. And then he kills the police, or at least that police station. I think he tried, I don't know if he did to any other ones, but he went about there and he was like, you know what? I actually fucking hate Japan. I've always hated Japan, right? And he's like, I'm going to kill 100 people a day to wipe you guys out. And they were like, man, you tripping. Quit playing, bro.
It was less emotional than that. It was more like, look, I really want to be with you guys, Shion and Grandma, but
it's not
gonna happen in Japan, you know. So, you know, I'm just gonna wipe out Japan, and then we're gonna go somewhere else, right. And then we're gonna live life happily ever after.
Yeah, and he and this is where I had like the utmost respect, because I literally favorited him on my anime list as a movie, and he favored because what he did was he set out a goal, which I feel like a lot of villains, they set out a goal and they don't accomplish it. He set out a goal. He said 100 people a day. And so he hijacked the billboard and was like, I'm murdering all you guys. And he just said, bang, bang, and just started firing into the crowd and just mowing them down. I was like, wow, he's wild. And he really did. And when he was done, he was like, all right, guys, go work today. I'll see you guys tomorrow. I hit my quota. And I don't know. I just thoroughly, I was like, wow, this is really dope. I really fuck with this type of villain.
That has to be, oh my gosh.
What, it has to be what?
It has to be nothing.
All right. Well, during this scene, I felt Ichiro, I felt like...
What's so cool about being a psychopath? That's what I don't understand. I guess one thing to be like, hey, you gotta commend him for having conviction. But
so it wasn't about him being a psychopath. It wasn't like, dang, I want to be like him when I get older, you know. It was just refreshing to see a villain do what he set out to do, you know, and doing it efficiently. Like, because the next day, you know, he was like, he took down planes. He took down a whole jumbo jet.
That was a very crazy scene. He was up on that building like he was a conductor, like conducting an orchestra in his head.
He was having a blast. Yeah, he was having a blast. Crazy. And I don't know, it was just something about it that I find villains more complex than just Hiro. I feel like heroes are so, I don't know, limited by the rules of, like, their morals. And I like the freedom that villains have, because villains can do whatever they want. That freedom is just so nice. They're not held back. Well,
no, they're not.
Well, Hiro's a little different as well, because, like, villains typically don't, like, kill kids or whatever. Hiro had no problem. Like, when that kid, he was like, hey, kid, put the phone up to your ear, right? He was about to blow that kid's brains out. Kid was lucky that Ichiro hijacked the signal, which was, I felt like he should have done more, but maybe that's his lack of understanding of his power still. Like, he didn't have that in him to, like, know how to maybe locate or I don't know, maybe his lack of self-confidence. He didn't just be like, you know, fucking like Superman, go to a telephone booth and just blast off. But he hijacked the signal and saved the kid. But I just like that freedom that they had. It was just so nice. I was like, this is refreshing.
I will admit that Hiro is the most efficient villain that I've ever met. The most efficient villain I've ever met.
Yeah.
That is crazy, because these killers out here doing these onesie twosies,
had nothing on him. He said, he said, killing 100 people, that's just right. too few. I need to step up my game.
Oh my gosh. I know a hero would have the hardest time, you know, showing their own efficiency against that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how do you save one? How, like, he, what is it? Israel had to put in all his might to, like,
Save a couple of planes,
but like Hero can bring like a bunch more down
right.
like, at the same time.
But. Right, he brought down a bunch more before Ichiro showed up.
Like before Ichiro could show up,
they were just falling out of the sky. They're very lucky to save. What, I think it was like 6 of them, maybe.
Really.
So he was very lucky for that. And, but I don't know. It's just something about it that's really. I was like, oh, yeah. But
as quickly as Hero can pull out his fingers, you know, and say the word "bang" is like. Is how fast Ichiro has to be, and he's just not.
He wasn't.
He's just not, yeah.
At least not at that point in the story.
Not at that point.
And I think this is the point where Hero, through his twisted thought process, never realized what he was doing was wrong. Surprisingly, because at that scene, he was like, "Why'd you stop me?" You know, he was like, "Why'd you stop me?" He's like, "What? Because killing people is bad. Like, I'm here to stop you." He was like, "Damn. Am I the bad guy here?"
Yeah, that really shocked me. That shocked the fuck out of me. Because it's like, of course, no duh. What do you mean? And that devastated him.
Mm-hmm.
That really devastated him. That hit him.
Yeah, he thought he was the main character of the story.
For a psychopath, that really... I didn't know that man could feel.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Which at that moment, you know, then Hero and Ichiro get into an altercation, and I felt it was very random because it was, they knocked each other out and then they both had their own defense system. So it was like a defense system versus defense system. And Hero lost that fight because he shot down a satellite. I think Hero shot down a satellite, and it just so happened that the falling debris, Ichiro's defense system was able to hide behind and rip off his arms. Rip off Hero's arms, and I felt like that was a really lucky thing to do. And I wasn't upset because I felt like if the revolts were reversed, if they were in different positions, Hero would have came out on top, which is what I really wanted to happen. I really didn't want the good guy to win, but you know, I'm not writing the story.
In order for the story to have a decent ending,
yeah,
have a happy-ish ending,
which Ichiro then rushes off to save his daughter, who again had been disrespecting him. She had a little plot line here in the story, but I don't think it's really worth mentioning. But she was trapped in one of the buildings, and Ichiro raced to save her. She had near-death experience, but then he went about and just saved everyone that was in the building because it was on fire, you know, falling over. And this is when it comes out that Ichiro is basically a god, and he went around and saved everyone. And his family figured it out, and they were like, "We love you." And I was like, "Yeah, where were you at before he had the powers?" And now that he has powers, they're like, "Oh, we love him now. He's so cool."
I think it says something. It just says something like about the family. Honestly, I think everybody was caught up in living their own lives. The daughter, she didn't hate her father. It's just more like she's like, he's just a non-factor. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She's like, "I want to become a mangaka and just, you know, I want to learn. I want to be like one of the greatest, you know, authors, you know, or manga writers, you know." And that's what she was focused on. And she's focused on her own life. She's like, "My dad don't do shit. You know, he's old. He plays with his dog, you know?" And the wife, she's all like, you know, "That's just him," you know what I mean? So I think they were just unappreciative. I don't think they hated him. But the moment that they hated him?
Maybe we're unappreciative. They were unappreciative.
Cause like
to the point of disrespect, though. I definitely feel they were disrespectful in that.
But like, as soon as like he came home and he was all like, "Hey, you guys, like, this is me. And I'm sorry I lied to you guys. You know, I'm sorry I hid it from you guys," rather. Then they were like, you know, it just, the emotions came all of a sudden. She's like, "You think that we turn you away? Like, do you remember this time, you know?" when we were dating, what happened on our honeymoon? And then he's like, this happened. I remember this happened.
Yeah, he still had his soul, so it's really
And
nice.
Then she's all like, you know what? Like, you're my husband. Of course I'm going to accept you. You know, I don't think that they realized
it was a nice moment.
How much they appreciated
it. They were fake as fuck, but it was a nice moment.
Okay. I'm going to let you have it.
Well, then after that, during this whole entire time, actually, Hiro actually dominated the news because the looming threat of the actual show was a meteorite. And the meteorite that was bigger than the one that destroyed the dinosaurs, of course, naturally.
You guys thought Hiro was the right, was going to be the end of them.
Right, nope. It was this gigantic-ass meteorite, which when we were watching it together, I told you that I found it very interesting how in the show, when they were like first mentioned, meteorite coming could wipe out Earth, their immediate thing was, oh, the USA's got it. And it's very nice because, you know, we do hear about like how the USA is like, or the US is hyped up. And it was very nice to see, or it was very interesting to see it in anime, to actually hear them be like, the US is like, they're like top dogs. You know, they got this. And so when Trump came online, you know, Trump comes on TV and he's like, shit, I became president. I did my thing. I lived a good life.
Yep.
Hey, good luck out there, bro. Right. And then people were like, oh, shit. We might not get out of this. Which Ichiro realizes, like, oh, I got to do something about it.
But of course, him being hero-minded.
Right. Right. And he goes up to the meteorite, which my initial thought was, he's going to get it out of the way. Because he basically was a god and had everything at his disposal. Like, nothing could really touch him, but the meteorite was actually too big for him. He could only tear out small little chunks out of it and wasn't making any progress. And this is where my boy Hiro comes in and is like, redemption time. I'll blow myself up.
True. There is nothing left for you on Earth. Please do.
Yeah. You were mighty upset when he got revived. You were like, why are you reviving him? Don't you watch the news? His name? He's a serial killer. Don't fuck with him. But they gave him some water, which seemed to be their energy source.
They gave him interestingly purpose. Enough.
And so he, you know, he's like, hey, there's a self-destruct button behind our eye. Press it and I'll save the Earth. And he blows up, but it actually turns out to not be enough. And I would say I had an emotional response to this. Because I was like, not to Hiro dying. It's to the fact that Ichiro was like, he was like, damn, I have to, like, if I self-destruct, it'll save the Earth. And I really felt, because like, Naoyuki? Yeah, I don't know why I forgot his name, but he was like, oh yeah, Mr. Inuyashiki, I can't wait for you to come back and hang out. Because it was like, he was really cool. He really fucked with the old man's morals. Oh my gosh,
it was like the beginning of the story again.
Right.
Like, except in reverse, because now his life is going great.
Right.
His daughter loves him. His wife is nice to him again.
Right.
You know, his son cares too.
He does care.
He now his life is on track.
Right.
And he don't have cancer no more.
Right. He was ageless. Like, he had everything going for himself.
And now he gotta kill himself.
Yep, gotta kill himself. And
he might not come back from it.
And that hurt. And that really hurt. And that was the story. And I had a great time. It was such a great experience.
It was
such a great experience.
An emotional roller coaster too.
The thing that I really enjoyed was the voice actor for Hiro, who I think his name is Nijiro, I don't know how to pronounce it, but he's normally just an actor, so it was like his first voice acting credit, and I think he did a really good job of like displaying that psychotic, emotionless killer, and that's what really convinced me of like, this guy is really crazy. It really roped me in, it immersed me into the story, which I really enjoyed. And yeah, I think that was really none of the note. I don't think the music really stood out to me or anything like that.
It stood out to me. It was kind of jazzy, actually.
Jazzy?
I thought it was pretty jazzy. And me loving neo soul, you know, like it resonated with me, honestly. And then, you know, the music, it really did make you feel something when it was time to when it was time to get a little heightened, you know, it added to the scenes.
Yeah, it did say the epicness, especially of the planes coming down. It really...
Oh, yeah.
It really showed, like, the awe-inspiring, the wide shot. Like, it was honestly breathtaking. Like, my mouth was was definitely slightly ajar. I also enjoyed the art. I thought the CGI was really good. I thought the normal art day to day, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Normally, I don't like CGI, but they did a really good job of using it in the right places. It's not too ugly. It was really mostly used for like flight
and expressions.
Yeah, and expressions.
I think it gave very realistic expressions because Ichiro is a very
expressive
character. You know, every time he cried and he lamented, or, you know, in those moments, like, I felt like you could really feel it because he looked pained, you know? Right. He really looked pained.
He was. It was the exact opposite of Hiro, you know, as his opposite. Hiro didn't show emotion. He was pretty much blank face. So, Ichiro really did have those, you know, those horrific, like, frowns, and when he was crying very loud and just very, very emotional.
Very emotional.
That was really nice of that. And for the show, I'm gonna rate it. I rated it on my anime list a 10 out of 10. It was fantastic. Would highly recommend anyone to watch that wants an experience it's unique. It's not something that, I don't think you'll find something like it out there. At least not from what I've seen. I don't think there's something out there like it. How do you rate it?
Oh gosh. Usually out here rating things, but if I were to rate it, I too, because of its uniqueness and in the story and in the characters and in the art, the way their art style, I'd rate it like a 10 out of 10 up there.
It was very enjoyable.
It was enjoyable.
I definitely kept. I wanted to watch more, which is always a good sign for, like, always a good sign for a show is the willingness to watch more.
Honestly, if you make me feel, then, like, you kind of got me, honestly.
So, well, with the conclusion of that, we can move on to the next show that I wanted us to talk about, which we just finished up, was Japan Sinks 2020.
That's right.
That recently came out, because it's July. We are recording this on July 17th.
Speaking of emotional roller coasters, bro. If I thought that Inuyashiki was a roller coaster,
Japan Sinks. Yeah. So Japan Sinks came out July 9th of 2020, so not too long ago. And this was produced, this was made by Science Saru, which made Ping Pong Animation, which is a great anime. I highly suggest it. Loved it. One of my favorites. And Devilman Crybaby. Which is a very popular show. So this is the same studio that brought you those two.
Crazy art style.
Yeah, it's a unique art style, to say the least. And the show is drama and sci-fi. And you want to explain it?
No, you got it.
I got it? All right. So this show was... It's basically where Japan... a natural disaster hits, like an earthquake, and nothing that like you've seen in real life, like throwing around like people off the floor, because the opening character, the daughter, the main daughter, Ayumu, she's a track star, you know, she's going out for practice, and she's like, you know, just training to be an Olympic athlete, I think, for Tokyo or for Japan, and she's in the locker room with other friends. It's just a normal day. And then this earthquake hits hard. Like, lockers slam up in the air. The kids hit the ceiling, hit the lights. Lockers land on the kids and crush their legs. And they're just, all of them, besides her, they all die. And she runs out. And we see... Oh, you got a phone call?
No.
We see... we see all the different family members. The mom's on a plane on the way in, and that is that comes crashing down for some odd reason. It's probably something with the instruments They don't really explain why. We just know that Crash lands in a sea and hits a bridge. Or in the river and hits a bridge. The dad's doing... the dad does... He was doing his job. I don't know what his job was particular, but he was hanging from like something high up in the air. Rappelling up. And then his earthquake comes and swings him. And then the kid's at home and like glass hits him in the eye and like... I don't think he... Did he get domed with the can or something like that? Like, I don't know. Just stuff started, I think, flying out and hitting him in the face. And, like, his looked really bad. I didn't think he was going to make it. And it's... The first episode is their journey of linking up together. And, you know, the show...
After a disaster.
Yeah. And it, the show kind of... I don't know. At least for this first episode, really lulled me into a sense of false security. Like... Because I don't really watch many natural disaster shows, I would say. So I don't really know, like, the formula. But for this one, I thought it was the earthquake, and, like, that was kind of it, maybe?
Yeah, and now that's already happened, now they just got to deal with what just happened.
Right, and that's what I thought. But then you see, like, explosions going off.
Yes, it gets worse.
Right, explosions going off. Like, you see a helicopter with... a guy hanging on, and it crashes down the ground in a big explosion.
Yes.
And then you see people falling from the sky, probably from helicopters, probably jumping out or whatever. And they're hitting the branches above because the family relocated in on top of like the little the shrines. You know how they're normally in Japanese anime, they're up on top of hills, you know, a lot of steps. And they're just hitting the trees above, and then like where their original survivors were supposed to be at. Because they only went up there because the thing about the family is that they had, like, lights. Like, unusual lights. So that's how they were able to know, like, we need to go up here to this temple area. So where their original, where all the survivors originally were supposed to go gets flooded out. They all, like, or no, it was a fire. It was a fire happening because a dude came up and was like, oh, they're all dead. And he had burn marks on him. And so, and now they're like, oh, snap. Like, things seemed really bad. And that was only really, little did I know, it was the tip of the iceberg. Things could get a lot worse.
And you know what? It was really realistic in their depictions. Because sometimes you think that, you know, in animations, it doesn't show, like, the details. Like, these are how these people are affected. You know those people that are squeegeeing windows on skyscrapers? Yeah, they get affected too. Now they're stuck on that little platform, you know? And they can't get down because the people that they need in order to control that, they're dead, like their coworkers are dead right beside them hanging out of this, you know, and then it was really graphic about how like it betrayed like all of the dead people. It didn't just like, oh, there's an earthquake, you know, and now shot to all the dead people laying on the ground, you know, freeways collapsed and people were under the freeways. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People who were actually living their lives. And so it was very realistic how they depicted the chaos, you know, of an earthquake.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, and I think for it to go on, like, to piggyback off that, I think they also did a really good job of showing, like, real, like, the real, like, after effects. Like, the nuclear power plant at one scene, which happens later on, is, like they meet a character, and he's, like, there was a nuclear power plant that was smoking, you know, don't go out in the rain because it's affected by the nuclear radiation.
It showed the chain reactions of this disaster. It wasn't just an earthquake, and now that the earthquake's over, you just got to deal with the casualties. No, you got to deal with the chain reactions that were set off by this earthquake, for sure.
I feel like that there, compared to Inuyashiki, there is not a lot, I would say, that goes on, because this is a family's journey to safety.
Yes.
They're trying to go east, I believe it was. I think it might have been west. But because there was a theory out there, you know, hence the name Japan Sinks. There was a guy that was like, Japan's gonna sink. No, everyone was like, psh, you're crazy, bro. Japan, Mount Fuji gonna erupt before Japan sinks. And so people went off the other direction. They were like, no, we're going to head off and kind of listen to that advice. Yeah. And so...
In the west, that was the epicenter. That's where the epicenter of the earthquake was, right? So usually at the epicenter, like there's like a portion of, there's a place that's like a little undamaged, right? Mm-hmm. Because it, because the seismic waves, they go out, right? Wow. So yeah, there should have been like an unaffected area over near the where the epicenter of the earthquake was, to the west.
Away from the epicenter?
Is it away from the epicenter?
Yeah, probably away. Most likely away.
Away from it.
Yeah. But this show, what the show did really well was it really, like, people thought Game of Thrones, you know, the whole thing with, like, don't get attached to characters, like, this show took it to a whole nother level. And that's what really happened in the show, was that, you know, they're just trying to go and survive, and then things are happening, like, they're not safe, like, I thought when I first watched the show that it was a story about this family trying to survive. And then there's, you know, a couple added characters, like friends that they knew who kind of latched on, you know, because, you know, maybe they trusted them or whatever. And I was like, okay, they're going to die probably, right? Just to show some death. But the first person that dies is the dad, which really sucked. It really sucked. I really liked him. He was a very likable guy. But it made sense why they killed him off, because he was a survivalist. He knew this and that about like killing and skinning, and I was like, oh, they made it too easy. And the next thing you know, off buddy with the mine, which really sucked. And that just follows a trend of like they journey a little bit and you kind of think it's safe, and then something unexpected happens. The show does a really good job of not like foreshadowing deaths in the show. It just kind of happens. Like one of the girls that Ayama, keep mispronouncing her, Ayama, is that the daughter, you know, whatever, her friend, they're like, oh, let's go pee, and girl goes, she's like, I'll take this bush, and she's like, okay, I'll take this bush, and then the friend goes down further and just collapses, just no warning, collapses. And that's when another character comes in who was basically a Deus Ex Machina type of character, because he was a YouTuber named Kite. And he just honestly replaced the dad and just did whatever. Yeah. He just was able to do whatever. Which kind of made him cheat, but I enjoyed his personality.
The best thing that ever happened to them.
Oh, big facts, yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good. And he's like, hey, there's poison gas down there, because... you know, gas leaked out from underground and settled in that area. And she just died. She was just very unlucky. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. And I really enjoyed that about the show. It made it suck when you get attached to characters or you thought that character was really cool. Because just earlier, she fought off this dude who was a rapist. And he was like, oh, yeah, she's badass. You know, she stand up for her shit. And then she just instantly died for her troubles. And the show just follows that journey of everyone, like, everyone besides, no, I don't want to spoil who survives at the end. Because I do think that is,
yeah.
I think that show really,
let them watch it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good, like, even though I just spoiled Inuyashiki,
yeah.
But that's like something you still have to experience, because there's still some things we didn't talk about. But for this show, I definitely would recommend watching it all the way through to see all the deaths, because you definitely will experience a lot and see a lot of the deaths happen. But I enjoyed watching it. I found it very... I found myself wanting to watch more to figure out what happened next to this family and to this group of people just trying to survive.
This really made me wonder about if I have what it takes to survive a natural disaster. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was, I think it brought up a lot of things that, you know, most everyday people don't think of, honestly. Right. It's like, what do you do when, like, everyone is seemingly, like, suffering, and it doesn't seem like, you know, even the government got its stuff together.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I totally understand that, because I was also thinking, I was like, what would I do in this moment? And because you're in Japan, you're trapped on an island, and everyone around you is dying. Like, people are dying.
Yes.
And even your friends or family are dying. So, like, when it comes faced with this moment of where like maybe a building's collapsing or something like that around you, like how are you really going to react in that situation? Like, cause you already know, like, cause the escape plan, which isn't really a spoiler at all, is that they were doing a lottery for getting people off the island. So like, you already know that it's a limited space. It's really first come, first serve kind of ish, you know, can you really survive? And I honestly, I know that I think I would live long enough. Like, I would try to push myself, but if it ever came down to that moment to where, like I'm really about to face death, like, not just around me, like, maybe something's falling down on me, I could easily see myself freezing, realistically. And that also reminded me, because I tweeted that out, like, oh, yeah, I don't know if I could survive this. I also tweeted out, so, like, Ayuma, she does something that I found is really stupid, is that she... There was this old family there, and they were just sitting underneath the bridge, and and they just stopped, and she was like, oh, can I get some water? And the dad was like, yeah, sure, this is our last bottle. And she runs off and gives them, like, here, you can take the bottle, have this water. I would have hit her. I would have been like, what are you doing? Gosh. You need that bottle, we need that water. They're old, bro. We can let them go. It's their time. We're young and vibrant.
I understand that her heart was in the right place, but at the end of the day, I don't think the Mo people were gonna go anywhere. They didn't. They were just gonna sit there and stay there.
They get tired
and
very easily.
Die there.
Right. We need that.
Whereas you guys are gonna keep being on the move, you know, keep searching, not giving up. So.
So, well, speaking of annoyances with Ayuma, because getting into her character, I found her very annoying.
She had to be the most annoying.
She was super annoying. And I don't know what it was about. Since I'm not Japanese, I don't know Japanese culture like that. But they had something where they didn't really loot, like, buildings and stuff like that. Or, like, if they did, because they're the one place where the dad did die, they left money. Excuse me. They left money underneath the rock by one of the destroyed houses. And I just found that kind of weird because, as we had talked about when we were watching it, as Americans, I just expect natural chaos. I feel like everyone would expect just things to just erupt and be like, you know, every man for them fuck is out, bang, bang, and just...
Yeah, horde, horde.
Yeah, and they're just... And there's just be crazy. Like, basically, The Walking Dead. That's what I... Yeah. You know, just people just turning on each other. They'd be the most dangerous things here.
Nobody's gonna just take what they need. What's... I want all
this. Yeah, right. I'm gonna take it as much as I can. Yeah. And she was really against that. It was really... interesting. That really annoyed me. I mean, it's just that cultural difference. Like, they go to this grocery store and they're like, she's like, I'm only gonna take the expired things. I'm like, bitch, what? No, take everything, the fuck?
Really? They don't look like there's an owner now. There's no owners.
Yeah.
Ownership is dead.
But that most likely could be because it was just so soon as well. Like, because there were some bad eggs that were like, okay, this show is, or this thing just happened, you know, Japan, they also are in the mindset, Japan doesn't sink, we can come back here, it'll be fine, you know, we just gotta leave, you know, and then when Japan settles down, we can come back, and we'll, you know, we will rebuild where we come from, but I still think, I personally would be like, fuck it, we doing it. Another character I found annoying was that they found a English guy, which I don't know if it was because, or he was white. He was a white guy. And I don't know if it was because they just, the way they think of foreigners, but they just thought of him as dumb. Like, they made him
very goofy.
Yeah, very goofy and just like doing little magic tricks and stuff, like having like fake eyes and fake ears. And I found that very annoying.
Every time he talked, it was a different.
We also watched this dub, by the way.
Yeah, he wasn't a very, like, I didn't see the point of his character. Well, I guess the point of the character was to lead them to, you know, that commune or whatever. So he served a point, but he was really, anybody could have done that. Honestly, we didn't need that character to annoy us on the way to there.
Yeah, I didn't, and we didn't. We really didn't. The thing I have to note is that I like the music. I thought the music did a really good job of stirring your emotions when it's appropriate, such as like the inspirational music when they give you false hope, or the sad or the really tense moments. They really did a good job of bringing those out. I did not like the art in the second half of the show.
Yeah, it got real thick.
Yeah, it did. The mom and the daughter and... it was really the mom and daughter I really noticed. I think it was the women characters that they were real meaty, you know, like you said, they were thick. Like the mom's hands looked like, her fingers looked like sausages.
Sausages, yeah.
And she looked thick, like she was like a fucking rugby player or football player. And I was like, ugh, shit.
They definitely underwent an art change.
Yeah, and I that was a little distracting. Kind of took away from it. But I think it kind of corrected itself out a little bit at the very end. But in those two episodes that we noticed that drop in quality, it kind of took us out the immersion of the story because we noticed that.
Yeah, it was distracting for sure.
Well, what would you rate the show?
This show for me, it was pretty good. Actually, and I would rate it good.
Yeah.
That's like a 7, right?
A 7? Yes, 7 is good. In my opinion,
you know what? Like a 7 or an 8, you know? Mm-hmm. Because, like, I did enjoy the story, actually, and I did enjoy the realisticness. I enjoyed Kite. That's my favorite character right there. And I enjoyed the journey. For sure. So, like, to me, it was definitely worth watching, and I definitely got invested with the characters, and I wanted to see where they ended up. So, and they answered all my questions for me. So,
yeah, they did end satisfyingly.
It did end satisfyingly, yeah. Exactly. And yeah, that's how I felt about it. What did you rate it?
I gave it a 9 on my anime list. I was thoroughly invested. Like, I quickly binge watched 7 episodes before I even told you we were watching it.
Yeah.
And I was really into it. The only thing that I had to knock it for was just the art.
Yeah.
The art just really took away from it. But I enjoyed the characters. They were really likable. You know, that makes it really easy for me to be like really into it. There was some, not everyone had growth, you know, which is fine. I'm not too hurt about that. Some characters did, especially the shy kid. Because he ended up growing into himself. I really enjoyed that. I can't remember his name.
Oh, they put Haru. A lot of characters to the forefront, to be honest. To tell everybody's story.
Yeah.
It would have been a little tough.
Yeah, it's only 10 episodes, so.
Exactly.
But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I highly recommend it. So those are the two shows that we reviewed for this episode. We will be back. When? I don't know. We're going to have to choose 2 anime because 2 obscure anime or 2 obscure anime manga, whichever one. So you'll stay tuned. Please subscribe if you like this. And you can follow me on Twitter at _KingEther or on Instagram at KingEther. Do you have any social media you'd like to shout out?
No, actually, I don't have any.
Said no, don't follow me.
Honestly, don't follow
me. All right. I mean, keep your opinions to yourself,
bro. It has nothing to do with y'all, though. It has everything to do with me and not being active. It wouldn't serve y'all to follow me anyway.
Well, thank you for listening. I appreciate you, Zay, for joining me for today.
Of course, always. This was fun. This is really fun.
Of course. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. You have to put me out there and make me feel special.
I know. The anniversaries will not be on your birthday, but all right, guys.
I appreciate
you guys for listening.
Yes.
See you around next time.